Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Hello, this is Bishop Michael Sheridan, and welcome to our program. Today we're coming to you on the feast of a saint who may not be very well known to all of our listeners, but a saint who needs to be known by all Catholics, venerated by all Catholics, and indeed needs to be known by people in our world in general. I'm speaking of the Italian saint Gianna Mola. Saint Gianna Mola. And Saint Gianna is in many ways a woman of today, what we might call a modern woman. First of all, because she lived and died and has been canonized really within the 20th century. Her canonization actually was in 2004 by Pope John Paul II. But she was born in the 1920s, she died in 1962, a relatively young woman. How did St. Gianna so quickly be raised to the altars as a saint? Let me just give a brief sketch of her life and her death, and I think it'll be clear as to why the Church honors her today as a saint. Gianna entered medical school as a young woman, received her medical degree and license, and was a practicing pediatrician. She married and had four children, and the fourth child, as she was carrying that child in her womb, the doctor informed her of a particularly alarming condition, a cancer, I believe, that had appeared. The doctor told Gianna that if she wanted to live, she would have to have her unborn baby aborted. It would be the only way that it would be possible for her to survive this cancer. St. Gianna, in prayer and certainly in conversation with her husband, who I think just recently died, decided no, and decided very quickly that they were not going to take the life of their unborn child, even to save the life of the child's mother. And so Gianna carried the child. The child was born, is alive and well today, and is herself a physician. But what the doctor predicted came to pass. Not many days after Gianna delivered her baby, she died. And she literally gave her life so that her child might live. And now St. Gianna, recognized by Pope John Paul II as a woman of heroic virtue, of courage, of dedication to the dignity, the sacredness of all human life, has been canonized just over 40 years after her death. Pope John Paul II, as I think we know, was wanted very much to seek out lay people that could be canonized. If we look at the canon of saints, the list of saints that we venerate in the church, for the most part, they're priests and religious. There are some lay people, of course, but Pope John Paul II wanted to call attention to the church that the holiness that makes one a saint is not something that is confined or ought to be confined simply to those who are ordained or are consecrated religious. And for that reason, he sought out lay people of heroic virtue that could be raised to the canon of the saints, and Saint Gianna was one of them. We can understand also now why Saint Gianna is held as a patroness, really, of all who are involved in the pro-life movement. She's invoked in prayer for those who work to preserve, to enhance, to bring back in many ways a sense of the dignity, the sacredness of human life, and in a particular way of pre-born life, of children still in the womb, who have every right to be born and to live the life that God gives them. So today, April 28th, the show is coming to you on the feast of St. Jana Mola, the day of her death in 1962. Joining us today to talk about their own particular devotion to St. Jana are two couples. They'll have a chance to tell their stories shortly. We first have Ryan and Marissa Lickness. They are here with their seven-week-old baby, Braylon Gianna, named after St. Gianna. And so far, Braylon is sound asleep in her father's arms. She may have something to say in the course of the show. We'll see how that goes. So Ryan and Marissa, welcome to you. And then also we have Dave and Lisa Kotler. And they're going to speak about their devotion to St. Jana and what that's meant in their marriage. Welcome to you, Dave and Lisa. I said before that St. Jana is very much of a modern saint, and I didn't want to limit that to the fact that she lived in the 20th century, very close to our own times. But I think we have to recognize that she was able to live out her faith in a way that perhaps many people, not just women, but find difficult today. She was a wife, she was a mother, and she had a job. And that's something that's becoming, you know, was kind of unique to women in the later 20th century, that they would be working out of the home. We know what a challenge that is for women. And how important it is to infuse all of those aspects of life with a well-grounded spirituality, to bring faith to bear. Because the truth is, if we confine our faith, if we confine our spiritual life only to certain moments in our life, it's not going to be easy for that faith to make a real difference, especially in times of crisis that St. Jana experienced. We hear that talked about a lot now with people in the political life who are Catholics who seem to find it easy to compartmentalize what they call their Catholic faith and not bring that to bear in the work that they do and the lives that they live. But St. Jana did that. And I believe that's very much, at least part of the reason why she is a saint and why she was able to respond to the cross that came into her life at the time that it did. Why don't we begin, anyway, before our first break, by turning to Ryan and Marissa. I'm just going to let them begin to tell the story of how they came to know St. Jana and the difference that St. Jana made in their life.
Last fall in October, Marissa got sick. She was about 5 months pregnant with our daughter, Braylon, and she got the H1N1 flu. And of course, throughout the whole process, we kept praying, families were praying, the churches were praying. And about 3 weeks into the whole ordeal, this is after 3 weeks in the hospital, 3 weeks in the ICU, one night, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, Art and Kathleen Nutter, they watched a movie about St. Jana's life. They learned about her story. We started praying for her intercession. We started praying to St. Jana, and within days, Marissa started to make a turn for the better.
Now, Marissa, did the doctors suggested any way that an abortion was necessary, or were they just concerned about both you and your baby?
Actually, from what I understand, because I don't remember much of the hospitalization.
I remember those days when you were in that awful situation, especially hearing about it from your mom and dad. But go ahead, please.
I was in the hospital, I think it was like in the first week. We had this OB came in and was like, you know, I guess they thought maybe they should terminate the pregnancy or deliver the baby. I was maybe 18 weeks along. I think it was actually less than what Ryan had said.
Did they think that Braylon would be viable at that age?
They really couldn't decide. They thought there was a possibility that, you know, they could do stuff and try, but odds were no. I mean, they just thought that it might help. They didn't have any real compelling reason for it. The perinatologist, the high-risk OB, did actually contact the ethics committee at Penrose St. Francis and had actually, you know, tried to get this process started without even getting our real take on it. But they had recommended, in hopes that Marissa might get better more quickly, that we go ahead and try to deliver her at, like, I think it was, they wanted to wait maybe 2 more weeks and try 20 weeks. So halfway through a pregnancy.
So how far along was Braylon delivered?
She actually made it to 39 weeks, and the only reason that they took her at 39 weeks was because they moved my original due date out. They moved it from the 2nd of March to the 12th of March. And so they delivered her at 39 weeks instead of, you know, the full 40, because they were just worried that there was too little amniotic fluid or something. But they ended up inducing me early because she made it full term.
Well, Marissa, it was your mom and dad, Art and Kathleen Nutter, came to know St. Jonah through a movie that they watched. I guess you were a bit out of it at that time, and they weren't able to communicate that too well to you. So I guess it was Ryan was the point of contact. So tell us about how your mother and father-in-law contacted you about this.
Well, it's really funny. I was going between, because Marissa was actually moved to a different hospital. She was moved to Denver, so I was going between Colorado Springs and Denver upwards of 3 and 4 times a day, because we do have a 3-year-old at home as well that, you know, needed at least, you know, the one parent that was around that could be with her. So we were going between, but I actually heard about St. Gianna through a text message. They texted me right after they watched the movie. It must have been, I don't even know, maybe 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I just went online and got the prayer to St. Gianna and just did exactly what's there. And I wasn't a big part of anything other than that. I wasn't here for a lot of the other prayer sessions, the other rosaries, anything like that. So I just did the prayer and, you know, kept her in my thoughts. That's what I did.
You had not heard of St. Gianna?
No, actually, I'm unfamiliar with a lot of the canon because I wasn't raised Catholic. I actually just became Catholic on the Easter Vigil. So she was a big encouragement.
Congratulations and welcome.
So that was, she actually became a big part of, you know, my process there too, to give me that extra push to make sure I got done. So even once Marissa was out of the hospital recovering, I still went through, you know, my RCIA.
All right.
Which was a big deal.
Well, great. We're gonna take a short break, and after that, I'd like you and you, Ryan and Marissa, to continue to tell our listeners about your experience of prayer, intercessory prayer to St. Gianna, and what a difference that made in your life. So we'll be back in just a moment.
In a time when darkness blinded the people of France, one unlikely man came and brought light to an entire village.
We shall see him, my children. We shall see him direct. We shall see God.
The devil knows the great power of a good and faithful priest, so he frequently visits Fiani to tempt and torment him.
You see how you are wasting your time.
But through his prayer, penance, and perseverance, God uses this simple man to save souls.
Be a priest, John Marie. Be a priest and save many, many souls.
The people of Oz were trapped in their sin, their work, their drinking, their dancing, their selfishness, their pleasure. The Curie of Oz revealed to the people a love they have never known before, the merciful love of our God.
I have worshipped false gods.
I have so much hatred and anger.
I abandoned my child.
I murdered my wife.
I had an affair with my husband's friend.
I kidnapped her.
I stole everything they had.
I've taken Holy Communion and mortal sin.
I cannot forgive. Help me. Help me.
And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go and sin no more. Experience the dramatic story of the life of the Curie of Oz in the live production of Vianney, coming to the Diocese of Denver and Colorado Springs, May 16th through the 21st. Visit VianneyDrama.com.
Welcome back. We're coming to you on the feast of St. John Imola. John Imola was a woman who was born and died in Italy, a practicing pediatrician, and she gave her life for her unborn child when it was advised by her doctors that she abort her child in order to save her life because of cancer that had invaded. She refused to do so, and for that reason, she did die. She succumbed to the cancer, but gave life to her daughter. It's wonderful. You don't hear about this much in the lives of saints, that their immediate families are present for the ceremony of their canonization. But that certainly was the case with St. Gianna. Her husband and her children were able to be in Rome when Pope John Paul II canonized her. And it is said that Pope John Paul II was actually moved to tears when St. Gianna's daughter, also named Gianna Emanuela, spoke at a conference on the family, and she said she thanked her deceased mother for having given her life two times, first in her conception, and when you permitted me to be born, she said, deciding for my life, exalting her mother because she would not contracept. She was willing to conceive a child according to God's plan, and she would not take the life of her child even to save her own. So we can really understand how near and dear St. Gianna is to all of those who work and pray so hard in the pro-life movement. We have two couples with us today, the Licknesses and the Kotlers. We're going to get to Dave and Lisa Kotler in just a few moments. But we've been talking to Ryan and Marissa Lickness, who are here with their seven-week-old daughter, Braylon Gianna, named after St. Gianna. And Marissa, you tell us about this. We know it was the H1N1 flu that
yes.
really put you down, right?
Yes.
And I know you don't, as you said, you don't remember those weeks because you actually went into a coma.
Yeah, I was in a chemically induced coma to, I guess, help my healing.
Right. But just your illness and that coma is kind of a blank in your life. Other people have filled you in on it, but nevertheless, it would be good to hear now as you've learned more about that illness. Can you talk a little bit about that, the experience of that?
Well, I mean, like we touched on before, I had the H1N1, which caused me to get pneumonia, and then I ended up, you know, going into the hospital for 3.5 weeks and was in the coma for 3 of those. So, I mean, I was on life support. I was completely intubated, had tubes down my throat, couldn't breathe on my own. And I mean, I don't know anything about the settings on those machines, but I know that they were pretty much maxed out. My parents watched that movie on St. Gianna, and they literally that night, I guess, started praying to her, and I made a turn for the better and was out of the hospital within a week.
So you're, when the prayers to St. Gianna started, a week later from, I mean, literally at death's door.
Yes.
I know from speaking with your parents during those days, I mean, they were really frightened for your life, as I'm sure the doctors were. And so a lot of people, because through the magic of the internet, the word went out to, and lots of people began to ask for St. Gianna's intercession. And a week later, you left the hospital, right?
Yes.
Did your parents tell you, had they known of St. Gianna, or was this a sort of providential thing that they just happened to see a movie on her life?
It was actually, I guess, my family had gotten together to have, you know, like a family power night to just kind of boost, you know, people's morale and everything. And they decided that they were going to watch this movie. And oftentimes they'll watch, you know, saint movies just because they're feel-good movies. Mm-hmm. And they watched this movie, never heard of St. Gianna before. And my parents, I guess, they've told me that they started praying at the exact same time after the movie was over. And then it was just a miracle after
what
that.
What do you mean they started praying at the exact... The two of them, you
yes.
mean? Yes. Oh.
Two of them started praying separately at the exact same time. It was just amazing, I guess.
Well, we know what a heroic woman St. Gianna was in giving her life for her baby, but it's her intercession is sought also, I mean, for couples who want to conceive. Her intercession is sought by couples who are praying for safe delivery of their baby. And in this case, for actually, Marissa, for your own life, she gave her life, but God returned your life to you through her intercession.
And our baby's life.
And your baby's life. You said again, at the time you left the hospital, how far along was the pregnancy?
Time I left the hospital, it was 24 weeks along. I
okay,
guess.
And you went and you were able to carry Braylon to 39.
Yeah, full
weeks.
Term.
Great.
At times they were saying, you know, with the H1N1, they don't know what happens to babies. They don't know if it hurts them. They don't know if they're going to come out, you know, with issues. And they basically told us, even after Marissa started to make a recovery, don't be surprised if there's something wrong with the baby. You know, because you guys basically almost pushing it back on us because you decided to put her through this too. You know, it's almost like, you know, because we made the decision to keep her, to keep going, that, you know, we'd probably given her a harder life, but she came out, you know, small, but perfectly healthy, happy. You know, she's still sleeping, dealing with all of our chatter, and actually is a, you know, a wonderful baby. All the parents out there, I think, will be jealous on this one, but she started sleeping through the night at 6 weeks old. Okay, so a week ago, we started getting to sleep again. So she's perfect. I mean, she's wonderful. Nothing wrong with her. Beautiful baby. And, you know, Marissa's doing better and better, it seems like, every day. I mean, they're just both thriving.
That's great. Ryan, you said in our first segment that you are just recently entered the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Do you think St. Gianna had anything to do with that, or has what you've learned and through your connection with her in prayer, how has that had affected your Catholic faith, your life of faith now?
Well, I mean, I guess to go backwards, digress a little bit from that. I mean, my faith experience, my faith life, even before I became Catholic, I thought I could. I was one of those. I have my faith. You know, I believe in God. I know who Jesus is. You know, I was raised. To understand a lot of things, a lot of Bible study.
What is your faith background, if I could ask, Ryan?
I was actually raised in two churches. I was raised in the Methodist Church, went to First United Methodist, Colorado Springs. And I had another set of grandparents that took me locally, again, to Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. So I saw both. My parents are mixed backgrounds. So there's like half and half. And I went, for a big part of my childhood, both. Saturday and Sunday, you know, I got two different religions fully, but never baptized, amazingly enough.
You were never baptized at
no,
all?
No, I got the full deal. on the Easter Vigil. You know, I got baptized, confirmed, First Communion, I did everything. But I went, and I think that it gave me some insight. It gave me a lot of insight to know where I needed to go to figure out my faith. And I believe that St. Gianna, like, I think that she didn't leave us. You know, when Marissa got better, she kept pushing through, because I had that this, I was supposed to start the RCIA last fall when Marissa got sick, and ended up not starting until after she got out of the hospital, almost after the new year. And I had a lot of catching up to do, a lot of reading to do, and I think she stood by our side, stood by my side to get through that process too. So I think there's more to it.
Well, even though you had a Catholic influence in your childhood, as you grew up, I'm guessing though that the Methodist part of that, you didn't know much about saints. I'm guessing.
No.
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 And I know too, from my own experience as a priest, sometimes it is this idea of devotion to saints that's a bit of a stumbling block or a puzzlement for those who come from other Christian denominations. But it sounds like your experience may have gotten you over that hump pretty easily.
Well, yeah, and I with the St. Gianna experience opened me up to just intercessory prayer in general. I mean, I started praying to the saint that I ended up picking for my confirmation saint to help us through, you know, to make decisions, you know, St. Joseph. He was actually my confirmation saint. And I've found a lot of value in it. But, you know, 2 years ago, if someone asked me, do you know what intercessory prayer is? I would have looked at him kind of like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand much of anything about saints until really this. And I started learning about a lot of them.
Yeah, and the truth is, intercessory prayer is really not that foreign to any Christian, I don't think, because we're always asking other people that we know to pray for us. Mm-hmm. This is really turning to those who are closest to God to pray for us. So it's really not that big of a leap, but it's wonderful to see that sort of connection between your coming to the Catholic Church and you're coming to have such a relationship with St. Gianna. Marissa, we want to let you talk a little bit more too. How everything is going well with your health, the baby's health?
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, I've made a full recovery. I mean, when I left the hospital, I went home with a walker and I was on oxygen. And I mean, I've made a complete and full recovery. The only thing I have left is my funny sounding voice. It hasn't always sounded like this.
Is that from the intubation?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, they say that it's probably just like a weakened vocal cord, but you know, if that's all I've got left, you know, I'll deal with it. I don't care. I can walk and I can breathe.
Well, if there's any yelling to be done, you'll have to leave it to Ryan. Huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I imagine it'd probably be a little scary if I tried.
Is your first child, who is how old now?
She's 3 years old.
She's three. Is she picking any of this up at this young age about the St. Gianna and the difficulties that you had and the role of prayer?
Well, she definitely understood what was going on when I was in the hospital. People would ask her, you know, how's your mommy doing? And she'd be like, my mommy's in the hospital getting real better. She started, you know, really... I mean, praying for a little kid, uh-huh, is more, you know, just like the little recited kind of things. And she likes to, when we're in church, when it's time to, you know, kneel during the consecration, she gets down and she'll start, you know, thanking, you know, God for her baby sister and all that kind of stuff.
And so you've made her aware as much as she can absorb,
as much as she can comprehend,
right? And she coming to know a little bit about St. Gianna.
Yeah, I mean, she knows, you know, her baby sister's named after a saint who helped us, you know, get through everything. It's, you know, the saint that, you know, helped in saving both of our lives. And so she actually understands quite well for her age what's going on.
Have you shown her the movie that your mom and dad watched?
Not yet.
maybe she has to be a little bit older to
really understand.
That. Right, yeah. Right. Well, this is a wonderful story. It's a story with a very happy ending. I mean, not that everything is over, but when you consider what you went through, Marissa and Ryan, with her and your unborn baby, I don't hesitate to call this a miracle. I know that I know that medical science may not come down quite on that side, but we know that when we pray, God answers prayers, perhaps not always in the way that we would anticipate, but in this way, he certainly did through the intercession of St. Jana. So we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Dave and Lisa Kotler, who also have their story about their very special relationship with St. Jana. Back in a moment.
Vini. In a time of darkness, one unlikely man revealed the light.
We shall see him, my children. We shall see him direct. We shall see God.
I murdered my wife.
Go and sin no more.
Vianney, coming to the Diocese of Denver and Colorado Springs, May 16th through the 21st. Visit vianneydrama.com.
We are back on the feast of St. Jana Mola, a very special patroness of life, we should say, of the dignity and sanctity of life, a saint whose own life has made her one the go-to saint for those couples who are having difficulty conceiving, for women with difficult pregnancies, and certainly to implore her prayers for an end to abortion in our time, because she is one who refused to abort her baby even to save her own life. Earlier we were speaking with Ryan and Marissa Lickness about their experience, some of it not so good, some of it very good, as they came to know St. Jana and seek her intercession, both for the life of their baby as well as for Marissa's life. But we also have with us today another couple, Dave and Lisa Kotler. Welcome again. And Dave and Lisa, your story is a little different, but in some ways is similar to Ryan and Marissa. So
very much, yeah.
I'm going to let you tell your story.
Okay. Well, we a little bit different in terms of that we knew St. Jana before we conceived our second child. So I had read about her canonization in the National Catholic Register back in 2004, I believe, when she was canonized. And at that time, we were struggling to conceive another child. So I was very interested in her story and that she was a modern-day saint, a kind of a woman of our times in terms of a strong single life, then a strong married life, and then a professional woman working as a pediatrician. And I work in the medical field as a pediatric physical therapist. So I just felt the kindred spirit with her, and because I was so longing for another child, I started to pray to her and told Dave about her, and we did pray a novena together as well.
That's right.
And so we continue to pray. We had our first child. I have been diagnosed with mixed connective tissue disease, which is a combination of lupus and a severe fibromyalgia. And when I got off all of our meds, I was able to go ahead and conceive right away our first child without any problem within the first month of getting off our meds.
So was it the medication that impeded the conception of
right,
the first
child? I could not. My health was in enough danger when we were first married that I could not conceive. So we were I guess, using natural family planning in that way
in terms of
knowing, okay, right now you're on such severe medications, you would not even be able to carry a child. So once my health improved, we got off all the meds, I was able to conceive within the first month our daughter. So we thought we would have no problems with conception. And lo and behold, to find out after we were trying for our next one, a year or two went by and nothing was happening. And it was at the same time that I started learning about St. Jana. So we did go to a doctor who said, did some tests and said, you know, you shouldn't even have had this first child. She's a true miracle. You have a less than 1% to ever conceive. So be happy with your first child. You shouldn't even have had that.
The difficulty is because of the medical condition.
Of medical condition. My body basically makes antibodies against my own body. It sees myself as foreign. So it's difficult, even when I conceive, to then carry the child because the body is fighting against it. So anyway, we just gave it to the Lord and said, if it's meant to be, we pursued looking to adoption, but because of my health problems, including some kidney problems, we wouldn't get medical clearance for that. So after giving away all of our baby items, because we were getting older and we're thinking, you know, 4 or 5 years had gone by, we did a year long. We have many saints, actually, to go back a little bit. We pray to St. Therese, St. Rita, and then also St. Bridget. We just finished a year-long novena to St. Bridget. It was kind of our last hurrah against intercessory prayer for another child. And said, Lord, if this is your will, let this be done. And we did the year-long novena. And within 2 weeks after that novena, we conceived our second child. And so it was kind of a combination of many saints. But St. Gianna was definitely part of that, the conception of the second child as well. So.
Dave, were you as familiar with St. Gianna as Lisa was?
I wasn't until she brought it to my attention, and I think we were both enthralled by it. And I think part of it is because she's such a recent saint, and so heroic, as you mentioned, to give up her own life. And so it was something that just struck us as being a great saint for us to pray to.
Okay. So the two of you together invoked.
Together and separately, Saint Gianna. I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you consider, you really consider this, I mean, miraculous, as do the doctors, apparently. If they thought
yes.
the first one was miraculous, they certainly must think that your second pregnancy
they did
was miraculous. Did you let them know where you believe the miracle came from?
Yes. In fact, it's funny because the specialist, the fertility specialist, is a fallen away Catholic. And so he was not too thrilled with my constant proclamation of this is coming from the Lord. This is from intercession of the saints. And he felt like, well, no, somehow I had to help you. So he was trying to find where his part was in it all. But it was quite interesting to see the response to him of, well, you're pregnant now, but guess what? You're not even going to have a chance of carrying this baby. Like I told you, it's a 90% miscarriage risk. And so he was very quick to say, well, that's great, but you're not out of the woods yet. And this is kind of was ridiculous to think that. Because at that point, I was 41. So he said, not only is this hard to do at your age to begin with, but with your condition, it was a little bit, what would you say the word?
Daunting.
Right, daunting, but also foolhardy of us to think we could do it.
Well, when you gave birth, he must have been out of excuses.
Yeah, he was. I sent him a birth announcement. He wasn't my primary OB. He was a specialist. So, yeah, I did send him a birth announcement with the news. So.
Well, you never know. There may be another miracle of conversion.
That's right.
Going
because
on
he was
there.
A fallen away Catholic. And yeah. In fact, he was encouraging us to try and do in vitro fertilization. And we were educating him as Catholics where our position was on that and where our stand was on that. And then he talked to us about GIFT, which is the gametocyte.
Yeah.
I can't remember the whole thing, but it's the Catholic approval from the Vatican in terms of dealing with some of the fertilization. So, mm-hmm. But we were giving it to the Lord at that point and said, it's your will, God, if this is meant to be. So we got pregnant, and they did some testing, and they found out I had a anti-antibody, again, from the lupus, making an antibody against myself that I would have clotting issues. And I did indeed start throwing clots. So I was on heparin twice a day, shots twice a day, and I continued on that until week 20 when I went to a different specialist, a perinatologist, and he did new testing and he could not find any sign of the anti-antibodies anymore, any traces in my blood levels. So he said, go ahead and go on off. You haven't had any more clots. I don't see any reason for you to be on this medication. So we discontinued that. So we call the conception the first miracle, and then this loss of the antibody in my system the second miracle.
So carry the baby to term.
Right, right.
So that was the second miracle.
Well, then there's a couple more that come along here, Bishop. It's quite a few, I have to say.
Please, let us know.
I was going to say, and from day one, keep in mind, we're praying St. Gianna Novena from day one. So then week 22, they took some more blood tests. My kidneys were starting to have troubles and were in stress at that point. And then my OB turned to me and said, she was very supportive along the way. This was different than the first fertility doctor. And she said, cross this bridge when we come to it, but you may have to consider that if your kidneys start to fail, your life is in danger as well as the baby. So you need to start considering what are you going to do when you go to that path. And I know both Dave and I refused to deal with that, knowing what our answer would be. We just wanted to go one day at a time and say, this is the day I have with this soul. And every day is another day with this soul, and we will continue on each day. So again, we ask St. Gianna, please now take care of my kidneys, intercede on that level. And by week 26, 4 weeks later, no more problems with the kidneys, no more stress, no problems at all. So that was yet another miracle. So, and then it continues on. I had poor blood flow to the uterus, which affects the baby's growth, and is another risk for miscarriage. We sent out another mass novena on that one, and all the blood flows were restored. So things, we kept having touch and go just about every 2 weeks with a new thing, but battling back in prayer, and constantly each obstacle we were able to clear. So, but we really attribute, we really had a defining moment in the pregnancy when I went into preterm labor at 29 weeks. And at that point, they thought I was going to deliver right away. I started having high blood pressure, which is the preeclampsia. And they felt like, you know, get the steroid shots in for the baby's lungs, but we can't hold this back. We'll give you the medication to keep you as far as we can, but you may be delivering anytime soon. Again, prayers sent out for that. The labor was manageable, even though I was on full bed rest. But then I started to lose the uterine blood flow was starting to get diminished again. So I stopped making amniotic fluid. So at week 30, they found every day I was dropping in fluid levels to the point where I got to the below 5, which is the dangerously low level. So it was Saturday, April 28th, the feast day of St. Gianna. We went into the hospital for the last monitoring. And we had a doctor from the practice who was covering the Saturday shift, and we were down to 4. And she said, that's it. You get to 2, and there's nothing. We're delivering right away. Birth is imminent. You've incrementally gone down. So we expect you to be delivering by Monday. You need to wrap your mind around that. The baby will be 30 weeks, be on a ventilator, you know, risk for prematurity. And so that's what we kind of, that was our defining moment on our knees to St. Gianna and said, this is your feast day. I knew the moment I saw that positive pregnancy test that this child will be named after you. So you need to take your namesake and carry us a little bit further. So, and she did. On Monday, when we went back in for our test, less than 36 hours later, not only had I gone up, but I tripled. And I went into the normal range of amniotic fluid, the low end of normal range. And
if I could interrupt, are the doctors coming up with no particular explanation, scientific explanation for this?
For the tripling back into fluid, yeah. No. The doctor who's Christian, she scratched her head and said, this does not happen. This has never happened. This just does not happen. She just couldn't explain it and just kept literally scratching her head and looking at the numbers.
Did you tell her why it happened?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. She knows us well enough to know where our position was, so and where it was coming from. And the sonographer, who's a strong Christian, she said, I'm calling this a miraculous healing because this I'll put it right out there. That's a miracle because that does not happen. And I said, well, again, this is St. Gianna's feast day, and this is the name of our child. We knew by then from the ultrasounds we were having a girl, so... So we knew strongly that she had interceded and brought us another miracle. And I was able to continue on then to 36 and a half weeks when they thought for sure every week I was going to be delivering. So true miracle. She had enough fluid to go the rest of the way, born without any problems. So that's our story of her intercessory prayer in our lives.
And it is quite a story. You... Dave,
sorry,
we want to hear from Dad in all of this. What
sure.
this was had to be quite an ordeal for you too.
It was a lot of up and down emotionally, trying to keep each other strong, trying to be strong for her and not show my worry as much so it wouldn't affect her. At one point, I actually wrote a letter to the Holy Father asking him for help in his prayers. And got a letter back saying that he would be keeping Lisa and the baby in his prayers, and
that's
wonderful. And so it gave you a lot of reassurance. But yeah, it was difficult, especially I think from a husband's standpoint, where you don't know could you lose your wife, and we sort of never really had that frank conversation, but we knew that it was a possibility, and so that was tough. And I thought about St. Gianna's husband and what he must have felt, and the joy at getting another child, but that the sadness of losing his wife, and so that, you know, a very poignant scenario that went back and forth in my mind quite a bit.
So now we have two little baby Giannas.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how old is yours? Your baby Gianna?
She'll be 3 in June, and she's
healthy.
boisterous and strong little one, so
well,
no problems.
Let me ask you too, now, your first child, her, tell me your first
Rachel,
child.
Rachel, okay. She has a six-year difference, so she's eight right now, and Gianna's two, so.
Right, well, I asked Ryan and Marissa if their older child, how much they understood. Was there a certain understanding of your oldest child? Older?
Well,
listen, you tell us that in just a second, because we're getting the signal for another break, and we'll continue the story in a moment.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
We're back now with our last segment discussing the miraculous intercession of St. Gianna Mola in the lives of two sets of parents here. We spoke earlier with Ryan and Marissa, and now with Dave and Lisa. And before the break, I was just saying you have a six-year-old child who, I guess was three around that time.
Well, she was six then.
Yeah.
Oh, she was six then. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, six-year difference. She's eight now.
I see. Okay. So what? How did you bring her into all of this? I it's got to be difficult for a child. She's old enough to know that her mother's having great difficulties,
right.
But were you able to introduce her to St. Gianna and to the power of prayer?
Sure, absolutely. And she was very receptive to it, and did a lot of praying, I think, both on her own and as we prayed as a family. She was pretty acutely aware that things were difficult because for the last several months, Lisa was on bed rest, so she was at home and not able to get up and move around. And so Rachel was very good about trying to help and do what she could to make life a little bit easier for Lisa. But I think she definitely knew who St. Gianna was, and that we were praying strongly to her and picked up on it.
I think it was a strong witness throughout, even before we got pregnant. We kind of went through a summer before I got pregnant where many friends were having more children and were having births, and she kept saying to me, "Mom, when is it our turn to have a baby? Why aren't we having a baby?" And it was a really one of those moments as a mom when you ask the Holy Spirit for the words. You know, I said, "You know, honey, we have to be open to God's will in our life. We don't know if we're going to have another. We're going to pray and just give it to Him. We have this Heavenly Father that knows what's best for us, and that's so comforting." And I think that carried her through the pregnancy when it was difficult and I was in the hospital at times. And I just kept telling her, persevere in prayer, and that's what we're going to do. And that's what we did to get this little miracle, and that's what we did throughout the pregnancy. And I remember her saying, "See, Mom," when we told her we were pregnant, "See, Mom, we persevered in prayer." And that, so it was a strong message to her.
And that was sometimes a different message than you were getting from the doctors, right? They wanted to take control of this, right?
Very much. They made it clear they didn't think I should be open to life. And then when I was pregnant, when problems were happening, we came in touch with different doctors at the hospital that couldn't understand why we chose to go down this path, and that a little bit of irritation and disgust with us that we were putting my life in a child's life, and a little arrogance that they wouldn't have allowed somebody in my condition in years previous to get pregnant. Not sure how they can control all those things, but in the medical profession is more science and more control. So we learned a lot from St. Gianna on how to stand up in a loving, firm Christian way and saying God's will be done and trying to live that to others.
You know, I think you give a very important message. We forget sometimes, especially in this highly scientific age, that children are a gift
from God. They're not a commodity that we decide we're going to manufacture or we're not going to manufacture. And sometimes I think that's the way our modern scientific world has taught us to think about this. And maybe in some way, some of the doctors that you spoke to, it seemed from what you've said that in their minds, it has little to do with God, God's will for you, but how much science was going to take over and decide for you what is best for you and whether or not a new life should even come into this world.
Right. I think that's very similar to Ryan and Marissa's, where the doctors were trying to say, well, gosh, you've got, you know, a little one that's keeping the mom from a healthy life or, you know, her recovery. And I think that that's how they're looked at. It's a lesser life when the baby's in the womb. It's not as important as the mother's life. And how much we've become, everyone's become their own God in this world and deciding life, when it should come, when it should go. So
David, Lisa, you sort of knew Ryan and Marissa a bit, didn't you, earlier on?
Well, we never. Well, you tell your first.
I knew Marissa's dad. I had done some
Everybody
design work.
Knows Marissa's dad.
He was actually a client of mine a number of years back, and so when I heard the name, it reminded me of Art, and so it felt a little extra special to do some praying. In fact, that we had known who they were.
So Marissa's parents put out on their email blast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you were.
We received the email of what was going on with Marissa. Someone had passed it on that they had received it, and so immediately it touched our hearts. And I mentioned the name to Dave, and he recognized Art. And immediately I turned to St. Gianna without really knowing their whole story and their history of what was going on, and just felt a kindred spirit of someone else going through a difficult pregnancy and a challenge with the medical world. And so we started praying every day and offering up. And so it's wonderful to sit here today and to see their beautiful little girl. And
so
that
is
Marissa's
this the first
healthy.
Time you've met?
It's the first time we've met. Yeah. Did not know them and don't really know the Nutters personally. So this is a blessing to see the prayers in action here.
So I guess you, Ryan and Marissa, you only found out later that Dave and Lisa were among the many that were praying for you.
Yeah, we found out literally as we walked in the studio today.
Yeah, I mean, when we got in here this morning, this was, honestly, it seems like everywhere we go, we meet someone else that was on the email list that was on that was, you know, praying as well. And this is, I mean, other than seeing the name in the email, you know, knowing who else was going to be here, we had no idea. So it was just one more time, that we met someone that helped.
Was there anything in Dave and Lisa's story that struck any chords with the two of you? Any similarities? Anything that you could say? Yeah, that
a was- lot of there were a lot of similarities in your different in your difficult pregnancy, like the heparin shots because of, you know, the risks of clots and stuff. I was doing heparin, you know, four times a day in the hospital as well. Yeah. My stomach, you know, showed it. I had, you know,
bruised up in the middle, right?
Oh yeah, completely bruised.
Pin cushion.
All, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just the same thing with the doctors. You know, you guys are idiots to, you know, put yourself and baby through it. Yeah. And it was just, you know, we had other doctors, like you said, some saying that your first daughter was a miracle. You know, we had ones, you know, now after the fact, that were just completely blown away and just, you know, no explanation. Mm. They're like, it has to be a miracle,
right? The words fail them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we especially noticed it with the doctors that were seeing her at the very end before she got out of the hospital when she was sick, because even at that point they couldn't even take it among themselves. They couldn't even say, oh, we came up with this. Like, they even, and this was at a, you know, a little more mainstream, like high-end hospital. It was up at University Hospital up in Denver. Mm. Which they're, you know, specialists there. They think, you know, they're very good doctors. I mean, they have a lot of help, but they couldn't even explain it. They're like, that. I don't know. I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, we had specialists, like, you know, thousands of dollars an hour type doctors that can't even, you know, stroke their own ego for that one. So yeah, they had to admit it.
Oh, and I still remember our OB, who was incredibly supportive and great throughout this whole thing, and she was just sitting there literally scratching her head during that weekend where all the amniotic fluid grew from the danger level up to a normal level, and just thinking, you know, gosh, I don't get it, or, you know, I don't understand how this could be happening. So,
and we did mention her prayer, and she said, "Well, yeah, I guess." But
well, sometimes the scientific mind is a tough nut to crack. But I think experiences like the four of you have had, these two couples, by God's grace, you never know what difference that's going to make. It certainly made a difference in your lives, and what difference it might make in the lives of those that came into contact with you. You may never know, but you've been evangelizing in your own way, and I congratulate you for that. You know, we're coming to the end now of our time together, and I wanted to make sure that if there are any final comments. You've told your stories beautifully, and they're tremendous expressions of faith. But any final things you'd like to say, to bring up, that we haven't talked about yet, or that we have talked about and you want to talk about some more?
Just, I think it's a story too of our heavenly friends, not to forget our saints in heaven and how much they are there for us. And there's so many of them that when you're going through a difficult walk in life, or that you have friends to call to, and that they especially take your prayers to our Lord. And so we're very grateful for those examples.
We're proof that they listen and they do intercede. Absolutely.
And it's you know, our stories here are just the ones that get heard, the ones that more people know about. And especially in this world that we're in these days, we have to have faith. I mean, if you don't have faith, I mean, where would either of us couples have been had we not had faith? I mean, you know, it could have been, sure, be done with it. You know, we may not have ever met our daughter. You guys may not have ever, you know, if you listen to doctors, met your daughter. And that's, I mean, we know the power of life. To know that some people decide to throw it away is just a saddening thought. So to keep praying for them is what we've learned.
Well, we're appreciative of all the doctors and all of the medical profession do for us, but we'll keep them in our prayers too, those who doubt or don't believe there's anything beyond their own powers to heal, that world will be opened up for them too. I think one of the things that I learned is that whatever else you can say about the internet and emails, it's a great way to get people to pray with you and to pray for you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Very much.
So we can be thankful for that. I want to thank the four of you for being with us. Actually, the five of you, Braylon, Jonna, 7 weeks. Did she smile?
Yes. Yeah.
Too bad we're not on TV. And I want to thank her for being such a quiet and cooperative guest today. She did a great job. It's great of all of you to share your stories, and I know that these testimonies of faith that you brought today will mean a great deal to many people who are out there listening. So let's bring Saint Jonna Mola to the top of the list of saints that we invoke. She obviously is very powerful. Her prayers are very powerful before God. I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us today. As usual, we conclude our programs with a prayer. And of course, it's very appropriate now to say a prayer in honor of Saint Jonna. So let's pray. God our Father, we praise you and we bless you because in Saint Jonna Beretta Mola, you have given us one who witnessed to the gospel as a young woman, as a wife, as a mother, and as a doctor. We thank you because through the gift of her life, we can learn to welcome and honor every human person. And we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.